Welcome to Roots and Branches on VOA Music Mix. I'm Catherine Cole in Washington, and I'm very happy to have two of the best from Texas in the Roots studio this week. Hayes Carl and Bob Schneider are back after far too many years. You know, not often do we get two guests at once, but Bob and Hayes were touring together and both were able to make the time to come in for a visit, so I said, why not? They've got totally different approaches to writing and working, really, so this is going to be quite an interesting conversation. Hayes Carl was born in Houston. He's 10 years into a career that's produced four CDs and a whole bunch of honors that include an Americana Song of the Year trophy and several tunes on the soundtrack to the film Country Strong. Hayes was first here in 2005 after his Little Rock CD was released. Why don't we start things off with a song or two from that session? I'll let him introduce this song. Hayes Carl on Roots and Branches.
Let's do Hey Baby, Where You Been? Well, they took all my clothes and they took all my money. Told me dirty jokes, not a damn one funny. Been all right if they'd have seen my honey. Hey, baby, where you been? Well, I wear big britches and I walk real tall. I'm eating sweet potatoes if I'm eating much at all. I wake up in the morning just to talk into the wall. Hey, baby, where you been? And all my life I tried so hard to find. But you just kept running round and round my mind. When the bell made a rainbow tall and high, sit me in the clouds eating moonbeam pie. Walk across the valley just to hear you sigh. Hey, baby, where you been? Well, I'm the long, tall Billy with his blue suede shoes. He's walking around the corner with the Fort Worth Blues. He would have bet a dollar, but he might have had to lose. Hey, baby, where you been? And I can't go north cause I can't stand snow. Start drinking heavy when the cold winds blow. I better stick around for just one last show. Singing, hey, baby, where you been? I walked in till my heart was black and blue. Searching for a trace or sign of you. When the bell made a rainbow tall and high. Sit me in the clouds eating moonbeam pie. Walk across the valley just to hear you sigh. Hey, baby, where you been? Hey, 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 baby, where you been? Wake up in the morning, long and lean. Stopping at the corner, cigarettes and gasoline. Pulling down Main Street, shifting through the gears. Rolling up that highway, they've been working on for years. One eye on the sunrise, one eye on the clock. Come tomorrow morning, Lord, I'm gonna make it down to Little Rock. I searched through LA County, the valleys and the stars, Del Rio to the Bayou, all them honky-tonks and bars. I felt you in Seattle, driving through the rain, ran to New York City just to calling out your name. After all these years of searching, I finally found my spot. One way or another, Lord, I'm gonna make it down a Little Rock. Hey, all my life I tried to find
a piece of this earth for my peace of mind. All these years of searching, let my troubles disappear. Maybe find a place where we can sit and drink a beer. Half a pack in 7 hours, put up on the shelf, singing to the radio and talking to myself, screaming through the forest, magic on my soul, 90 miles an hour on the cruise control. I'm blowing by the truckers, the grandmas and the cops. What joy is some, it's just that I'm on my way to Little Rock. Well, baby, get ready, trouble's on its way. Only thinking about you every night and every day. Tell all your other lovers, forget about the past. Ain't even gonna worry, cause this time it's gonna last. I'm coming round the corner, ain't even gonna knock. Hey, pretty baby, here comes your daddy down to Little Rock.
Hey, it's Carl on Roots and Branches with two from his very first visit with us way back in 2005. The songs Little Rock and Hey Baby, Where You Been? Hayes is back with us today, and so is Bob Schneider. Bob was born here in the States, but he grew up in Germany where his father was studying opera. Bob came back for college and soon moved to Austin, where he's been living ever since. Bob has led numerous bands there. He's released more than 15 albums as a solo artist. He's won 24 Austin Music Awards, had songs in lots of movies and TV shows, and he's also known for his painting and graphic art. And Bob would probably be uncomfortable hearing me laundry list his career like that. Here's one from his 2009 CD, Lovely Creatures. It's 40 Dogs, Romeo and Juliet on Roots and Branches.
As I said it'd be, but there's something right about you and me. Something right about you and me. You're the color of a bird book. You're the color of a sideways look from an undercover cop in a comic book. You're the color of a storm in June. You're the color of the moon. You're the color of the night. That's right. Color of a fight. You move me. You're the color of the color part of the Wizard of Oz movie. We're like Romeo and Juliet. Slipping through the net like the most.
beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Come out tonight, come out with me, baby. We'll throw the careful into the crazy. Turn the sky black into a sky blue. Turn the close shade into a hoo. What I say is true. Make a fire, gotta burn a few. Make a fire, gotta burn a few. We can do what we want to do. We're like Romeo and Juliet. 40 dogs. Cigarettes were like good times to have. Happened yet, but will. I can tell you where we're gonna be when the world falls. To the sea we'll be living ever after happily.
I'm Catherine Cole. You're listening to Roots and Branches on VOA Music Mix. That was Bob Schneider with 40 Dogs. Bob is here with us today, along with fellow Texas singer-songwriter Hayes Carl. Now, it's safe to call you a words guy, isn't it, Hayes?
Yeah.
And you are a words guy, too, Bob Schneider. You look surprised at me saying that.
No, I think that's the first time anybody's ever said that to me, but I like it.
Really?
I'll take it.
Oh, you are. I mean, I would have thought I'd said that before, but because I've always felt that way.
Well, I appreciate it. I spend a lot of time, like, really stressing out about trying to get the words just right. And then, like Hayes was saying, people just don't care for the most part. They're like, they'll hear the hook. And if they like the vibe of the song, that's really the important thing. But, you know, I don't know. I'm a perfectionist, so I spend a lot of time really trying to get it right.
Do you think that when you're not in Austin, when you're playing for a crowd that's not your home crowd, that people listen differently?
Well, it really depends on the type of club you're playing. If you're playing in a theater where people are seated and aren't maybe completely in a blackout drunk, then they're going to pay attention more than if you're at some roadhouse, you know, and it's 1:30 in the morning. Their attention span seems to drift a little bit at that point. So it just depends on the situation, really.
Because I've seen you play a couple of different rooms here in Washington, and it seems like people listen a little bit more than when I've seen you more on your home turf.
Right. Well, I mean, when, like, we played the Birchmere last night, and people, that's a listening room, people listen and are quiet. I will say this, even when you think people are listening, they're just thinking about their own thing lots of time. You know, they're thinking about what's going on. So
checking their phone.
But you can, at least if they're not talking, you can convince yourself that they care. And that's really half the battle if you're performing, I think.
So to reiterate that, in case somebody wasn't listening, when you're up there on stage, you really do know what's going on out there in the audience. If somebody is talking or checking their phone or...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I tend to, like, look at the audience, and then if there's somebody that's not paying attention or they look like they're angry or couldn't care less, that's who I tend to focus on for most of the night. And then I ignore all the people that are actually really enjoying what I'm doing.
Oh!
That's an interesting approach.
I wish it wasn't that way. I wish I could... see the tree for the see the forest for the tree.
I don't even know
how that works.
No, that's
actually
correct that time. Yeah.
But it's like if there's one person that's not digging it, then I feel like I'm in mortal danger somehow. And I keep my eye on that person the whole time. And it also feeds the voices in my head that says that I'm not good at what I do, and it and reinforces that, which is really the basis of why I do what I do, probably, which is
I think we just saved you trying to survive. I think we just saved you about $1,000 in counseling.
Yeah, thanks for letting me use this.
No problem. I do that often. I do that often. Would you like to, you know, I can save you a lot of money also. Are you on the happier side of things? Do you see the whole audience, or is it that rogue element that jumps out at you?
I'm sort of with Bob. I try to not pay attention to him. I read something about Willie Nelson once where he said he finds one person who's having a good time and focuses on them, and then he can, like, look around and find a couple and then work his way into a happy place when performing. And I, you know, I'm always insecure and nervous and worried and whatever, but usually a couple songs in, you kind of hit your stride or I get the feel of the room. But the only thing that really bothers me or throws me off as a performer is when you have a quiet room and there's one person who didn't pick up on it. If you have a room full of people yelling and shouting, okay, that's what it is. That's what we're here for. I can play accordingly. You know, maybe you won't pick up my depth and greatness as you should, but I can,
as you should.
I can still, we can have a good time here.
Right.
But when it is a room that is set up to have these special moments, you know, and you have the possibility of that thing that we're all chasing, which is a collective moment together. Mm-hmm. And there's one guy and who's killing it for everybody, who not only paid their money, but just took away from the potential of this beautiful moment. That's when I get distracted and upset. And then in my head, I no longer am chasing those moments. I'm having an internal dialogue with how much I hate that person and how I don't know how to handle it or how am I going to handle it or whatever. And that's when it's just one drunk can really throw me off my game in that way.
Do you get to the point where you're allowed to excise that person from the proceedings?
Yeah, I think you're allowed to at any point. It's always, I go back and forth between, you know, you never want to, I sometimes feel like I'm being too precious and too hung up on it, and I don't want to be just this rigid folky. But then there's times where I go through and I go, you know what, this is what I do. These people paid to hear it, and that person's ruining it, so it's really pretty black and white. Like, get out, you know.
Yeah,
I don't have a great easy time doing that or saying that, but I've been thinking about it a lot more as I've kind of gone back to doing more acoustic shows than I had in the past couple of years, and you realize it's like, this is how I make my living, this is how I spend my time. I don't want it to be miserable. It's kind of hard in a way, and mm-hmm. and to keep a good mental perspective as you're going through every night. If you've got people who are sabotaging that, I have less and less time for them. I hate being the guy who's like, get out, you don't appreciate my stuff. But it's more than that, really. It's, you're diminishing something potentially really beautiful for a lot of people.
And that's it for a lot of people. It's not just you.
Yeah.
Right. And the irony of the situation is that person is usually like your biggest fan.
Absolutely.
So you don't want to kick them out. But I usually do this thing where I give them a chance. But every time I give them a chance, I know they're going to mess up.
Yeah.
But I always do this thing where I'm like, look, I'm going to give you an opportunity to calm down, get it together, and stay. Because, you know, we want you to be here. And then within 15 seconds, they'll shout something and then they get booted.
Well, I think we have time for one more song in this half hour. Another one from Bob, I think. This is Metal and Steel off his Lonely Land CD on Roots and Branches.
I'm metal and I am steel. I don't mind cause I don't feel a thing. I'm a diamond ring. I'm not flesh and I'm not bone. I'm not sad and I'm not all alone. I'm a stone. The king is dead and the queen is flown. Left me here in the twilight zone. Lost and looking for a way to get back home. But there's no right and there's no wrong. Now be good and now be strong. I'll be silver and I'll be gold. Without art, without evil. I'll be
won't feel the pain. I'm in a pretend, no heart within. The king is dead and the queen has flown. Left me here in the twilight zone. Lost and looking for a way to get back home. But there's no right and there's no wrong. And I'll be good and I'll be flown. Left me here in the twilight zone. Lost and looking for a way to get back home. But there's no right and there's no wrong. So I'll be good and I'll be strong. I'll be mental and I'll be still.
Bob Schneider and Metal and Steel on Roots and Branches. Bob is in the Roots studio this week along with Hayes Carl. More conversation with the two of them in the next half hour along with an in-studio performance or two. I am Catherine Cole. This is Roots and Branches on the VOA Music Mix Network.
Thank you.
Hello again from Washington. I'm Catherine Cole. This is Roots and Branches on VOA Music Mix. I have got two special guests for you this week. Bob Schneider and Hayes Carl are here from Texas. I'm going to let Bob start things off with a song. What do you have for us this time?
This is a song called Blue Mountain.
I'm gonna ride the train through the Blue Mountain, through the rain and down into the sea, and to the bottom of the ocean, where forever be. I will lay down in the salt grass with a seahorse at my knee, singing a song about tomorrow, where all the good times used to be. I will build me a castle there, made out of coral and stone, and below the world where my true love sleeps, that is where I'll make my home. And I'll make a friend in Jesus, and he'll make a friend in me, and we'll form a band and move on down to Austin and rewrite music history. And the whole wide world will want to come see us, not because we rock, and not because of me, or any of these songs that I've written. No, just to get a good look at old JC. I won't mind, hell, I'll take their money. And the ladies, oh, the ladies, oh, you ain't ever seen such ladies. And they'll be all mine for the taking. Oh, and this will make me happy, and I'll shine like a diamond in the bright. I'll be envy, even despised. But brother, I won't mind, 'cause I'm gonna ride the train through the Blue Mountain, through the rain, up into the sky, and all the way down into heaven with my Savior by my side.
Bob Schneider and Hayes Carl are visiting today. That was Bob singing Blue Mountain. Are you always writing?
No.
Yeah, easy answer to that softball of a question.
I do try to write at least a song a week, just because I feel like I should do it because I'm a songwriter.
Hmm.
So I force myself to do that. But I mean, it doesn't take that long to write a song, a few hours maybe. So I can afford a few hours every week to write something. I used to write a lot more, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I'd probably write a song every day or 3 or 4 songs a week. But I had a lot less to do back then. I mean, I've got a kid now and got to go pick him up from school and go to a baseball game and stuff like that. So it takes away from your songwriting time. I do spend a lot of time doing it. I love the process of writing a song. To me, it's like a puzzle. It's like a math problem that has an answer. Like there's a, it's like a, a math equation that there's a solution to. And so I like the process of it because it, I worry most of the time. I have a lot of anxiety. And so when I'm in the process of writing a song, it kind of takes my mind off of that worry and anxiety for those few hours. So, and then I get to zone out, but then I actually have something to show for it afterwards as well. So it's pretty cool.
Have you always been a writer? I mean, when you were little?
I always did something. I've always been pretty nervous. As a kid, I used to draw all the time. I just like the idea that there was this universe that I could control and I could make it anything I wanted to. And I guess I enjoy that aspect of songwriting as well. Like I have songs where I kill people and I'm the nice guy that falls in, you know, that does right by the ladies. And I can make up all kinds of crazy stories in my songs that I can't necessarily do in real life. So I love that aspect of it as well.
But that shows through in your art too sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I want it to be exciting. My normal life, my real life is not necessarily that exciting. So I like to spice it up a little bit in the songs, you know, like if they're a sad song, I don't want it to be real sad. And you know, if it's happy, I want it to be over the top.
Well, because everyday life, for the most part, for most of us, is pretty non-eventful. It's there.
You know, with the song, you can make it anything you want. I'm always shocked, actually, that people don't take advantage of that. You can do anything with music. You can have the people in the stories do whatever you want them to do. I love doing that. I like a song where it starts out being one thing, and then halfway through the song, it switches into something else, and you know, because life's like that way. You know, you have some idea of what you want to do, and then next thing you know, you're doing something else.
You know? Well, and you can jump off a building and not hurt yourself. You can bounce.
Right, or die.
Or die. And then
still be alive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like cartoons.
Yeah, it is like a cartoon. Yeah.
Is it the same for you?
No. No. I wish it was, and I'm trying to, you know, Bob has this weekly songwriter and poetry.
I have the song game and the poetry machine, but they're both the same thing. I send out a phrase or a prompt every week, and
right.
Then you have to write a song or a poem with that phrase in it.
Yeah. So I stayed in the song one for, I think, 1 week. And then
I think you're in it for a month, but.
Well, But the poetry, when I do, and I don't turn it in, but I do it, and I think somehow along the line, I don't know if it's because of who I listen to or the way that I approach songwriting, but I took it very seriously, even though my songs don't always represent that by any means. But for some reason, it got in my head that, like, songwriting was my last will and testament. It had to have this profound effect, and I put this weight on it that was very hard to live up to every day when you're writing. And I think in a way it took some of the joy of writing out for me, and that, because what is fun, you know, you talk about the relaxation part of it and how it can take you away from your anxiety and things like that, and I think at some point for me it became a part of my stress and anxiety in a weird way, and I found other outlets to help relieve that rather than use that art is the thing to escape from the stuff. And so, you know, I was sitting here just listening to you talk about the ability to do what you want with characters, and it is fun, and that idea of it. And I think somewhere along the line, I lost that joy of it. I'm trying to get it back and, like, get in and just realize that everything is a blank slate and that I can create my world and make it how I want it to be. And I can still... It doesn't always have to be within the confines of certain things, and I can still say what I want to say, and I don't always have to put it out. I always have this pressure of, okay, this is it. Like, I can't keep a journal, partly because I'm lazy, but also because I can't bear the thought of anyone ever reading it. I can't read it myself. I'll go buy these beautiful notebooks. Like, that's my compulsion, is notebooks and pens, because to me it's a clean start all the time, and I get this new blank slate of paper, and whatever I put in there, how I live my life and what I come up with, it's a new beginning. I'll write a paragraph, and then I'll go, you're such an idiot, and throw it away because I have a hard time getting, freeing myself in that way of not judging what I do. And I've been inspired by this, by having this poetry machine with Bob and watching his prolificness as a writer, because God, I've slowed down as time has gone on, and I don't like that. I am a songwriter, and I don't like the idea that I'm writing less and less, and I'm not at a point in my life where I can justify that and say, I'm 70, I've put out 40 records, I deserve a break.
Well, there's a dilemma that you're faced with as a songwriter, especially once you've written a bunch of material, as you have, which is like, you know what good is after a while. When you first start writing songs, anything you write is great, because you haven't written anything, mm-hmm. and you love it all. But after you've written 50 or 100 songs or whatever, you know, however many songs you've written, you kind of know like what's good and what's not good. So you start writing and you're writing something that's not good, and it's hard to stick with it. You know, you just want to stop. The problem is just continuing to write songs that aren't necessarily that great, because you never know when it's going to turn out to be great. You might think it's not a good song, and then all of a sudden some line will pop up and it'll start turning into something that's great, but you might quit before that happens. So the hardest thing is to just keep writing songs that aren't that good once you've written some good songs. It is difficult. And, you know, especially if you make a living doing it, because you're like, well, I'm never going to be able to play this song. I'm not going to be able to use this song. It's not going to make me any money. I'm wasting my time at this point. As you get older, you're aware of your mortality, and you're aware that you only have so much time left on the earth. And so you're like, why am I wasting my time writing this silly song? And it's hard. It's hard to do it. And I think that's why you see people, as they get older, they do write less and less. And it's a shame, because there's a lot of stuff a lot of cool things to write about as you get older that you can't write about when you're younger, because you don't know what it's like to be older mm-hmm. when you're younger. But it is a challenge for sure.
Well, I've also had people come in here and say to me that they have to write the bad ones just to get them out, because they're just blocking the way for something else.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it might be useful later, but just get it out of the way, because there's going to be something better behind it.
It's like a relationship.
Yeah, like, well, that could be. Yeah.
Well, there's this thing about, like, I know how to write a song. I just sit down and write down some words and come up with some chords and then put a melody to the chords. So I know how to do that. I can write a song right now. It'll take me a couple hours and it'll be an okay song. I know how to do that. I don't know how to write a great song. And so anytime I sit down to write a great song, it stops me in my tracks. If I'm trying to write a song that's going to change the world or be a big hit, I can't do it. I'll stop before I'm done, and then that's it. Then the song didn't get written. But if I just sit down and write a song and just try to have fun, and it's weird, because you were talking about taking things seriously. I take what I do so seriously, but at the same time that I take it seriously, I try to not take it seriously as well, because the creative part of my brain isn't serious. It's the serious part of my brain, the critical part of my brain, that stops me from writing. It's the child part of my brain that can write songs all day long, and they're fun and silly and sad and serious, and it can do all that stuff as long as I don't stop it from doing it. So the battle really is just getting that serious part of my brain to shut up and let me play a little bit.
And then I guess too, you can have your opinion, and then when you get out and play it for people, it might take on a life of its own.
That happens sometimes. Sometimes I think I've written a song that I think is really good, and then you play it in front of people and you realize really quickly that it's not good. And occasionally it happens the other way, where you think you've written a song that's not very good, and then people are like, hey, that's a great song. Like,
see, we're different people, because I was going to flip that around and first say, I bet there are times that you've written a song you don't think is very good and people love it.
It's rare that that happens, but it does happen occasionally. I think you kind of
know
when you've
yourself.
Written something great.
Like, yeah, if there's something great, I think it's great. What happens a lot of times is there are things that I don't think are great, but they might be funny, but I can't quite figure out, or they might be something, and then testing it out sometimes is fun. Like, I'll sneak it in and see how it goes over. And it's like, rather than, I don't know. It's fun to watch the reaction and then try it out in a different setting and in a different style and sort of see what works. But I am surprised sometimes, more often by the things that I didn't think were very good and see how they go over. And I try not to read too much into that too, because sometimes like, okay, well, that's just an easy laugh. It doesn't mean it's a good song, or that's an easy basic drum beat and I'm appealing to this denominator. But a lot of the songs that I think are my best songs are songs that nobody wants to hear, you know?
No, I understand that completely.
Oh. I'm absolutely confident that out of my five best songs, at least three of them are songs that have never get requested. I mean, by the occasional.
Which are those?
Well,
so we can send people to those songs.
Well, now they're going to go to them. Like, this is going to think. No, it's just sort of a, for me, they're, and I say my best songs, because to me, they're the most lyrically interesting. They're probably the most musically limited in mm-hmm. some ways, which is probably why people don't like them. But to me, if you just put them on paper and said, these songs, to me, they're the things that I'm the proudest of. And I think because I came to it musically limited anyway, and to me it was the words. You know, I learned guitar out of necessity because I thought it was fun, but I learned just enough to be able to sing over. I started singing just enough to be able to get those words out. You know, I thought, well, I'll just sit here and write in my notebook all day. And, well, then how's anybody going to know unless I sing them,
right,
or play guitar? And so those things were sort of born out of this desire to get these words out. So to me, when I look at my stuff that I'm most proud of, it's not the shredding guitar solo track that I had nothing to do with. It's the things that approximate something poetic and moving. That's the stuff that I have the strongest connection to, and usually or oftentimes gets very little reaction at all. So maybe it's not as good as I thought it was, but it's just all in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
You want to sing one?
Sure. Well, I'm thinking now that I should do one of those.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I'll do one of those. It's kind of a long one, but this is one of the first songs I ever wrote, and I was living in Arkansas in a dry county, in this place where you couldn't get gigs because there was no bars. And in the last year that I was there, somebody opened up a bar. It was like a private membership club. You pay $5 and you're a lifetime member. And I got my first gig there. And anyway, this is called Arkansas Blues. I hide behind my guitar like a spill in the night, hoping I might fly away anew. Cause they'll love you when you're wrong, and then leave you when you're right. Oh, tell me, baby, what's a boy to do? I came to town a stranger, not knowing how to act. I figured I'd hang out and just get found. Made me some new friends, they climb way up my back. They've been gone so long, they ain't coming down. And you can kiss the sky good morning, you can say your prayers at night. I just hold it down in your shoes, but it's the same old scene, borrowed love and faded dreams. And I just can't run from those Arkansas blues. Well, time is playing tricks on me, makes me think I'm moving fast. Yeah, but I don't think I'm moving at all. And every stranger's face I see reminds me of the past. Well, they come on big and leave you feeling small. So I took to drinking liquor on the other side of town, way up in those woods beside the moon, where every graceful dream I had got lost without a sound. Yeah, I tell you what, I can't leave this place too soon. And it don't take no rhyme or reason, it don't make no sense at all. It's just one of those things you don't choose, but it's the same old thing, broken hearts and busted strings, and I just can't run from those Arkansas blues. Asking questions about whose side are you on, and I don't see it matters much to me. And all these midnight celebrations that are ended by the dawn, well, they leave you feeling low as you can be. So I'm leaving town this morning, I'm gonna lighten up my load and see if I can't lose what I have found. And it's one drink for the memories and one kiss for the road. Oh, look out, I believe I'm Texas bound. And California, Oklahoma, Arizona, Tennessee, I've been all around this land to pay my dues. High, low, and right behind me, wherever I go, they find me. And I just can't run from those Arkansas blues. I know I just can't run from those Arkansas blues.
Hey, it's Carl and the Arkansas Blues, and I can see why that one would be on your list. That's a beautiful song.
Oh, thanks.
And I'll tell you what, I will not make you list the other two, but maybe if people get in touch with you through your website or Facebook or whatever, you'll tell them?
Sure. Tweet me or
okay. Facebook, and how can they find you?
I think I'm just at Hayes Carl on Twitter.
Okay, and Carl is spelled with two L's in case they're looking for
you.
It
used to be three, but I took one off for
it was
show business purposes. Yeah. H-A-Y-E-S-C-A-R-L-L.
All right, and that's a promise that if they ask you, if they tell you that they heard you on this show and they want to know those other songs, you'll tell them.
Yes.
There is so much more for us to talk about. I think we are going to have to continue this conversation next week. But let's hear one more from Bob Schneider before I let you go. From Lonely Land, the world exploded into love on Roots and Branches.
There is a universe that can't be seen. It's just a feeling, if you know what I mean. A delectable dimension undetectable by sight. It'll fill up your heart in the dead of the night. Some say that it's an astral plane. It can't be described, can't be explained. World exploded in love all around me. World exploded in love all around me. Every time I take a look around me, I have to smile. Was our life just an illusion? Figure it out. Separation exists not in your love filled heart, but only in your mind. Real stories all around you. If
Even now it's around. Even now I feel the power. World exploded in love all around me. World exploded in love all around me. Every time I take a look around me,
you enjoyed the program this week. We will have more from Bob Schneider and Hayes Carl next time. As always, I look forward to your comments. The email address is roots@voa.gov. That is roots@voa.gov. I'm Catherine Cole. This is Roots and Branches on the VOA Music Mix Network.